Welcome to episode, this will be
eight
of Women Writing Men. This is part two of The Lonely Hearts Hotel by Heather O'Neill. Yeah, this isn't going to have like a nice lead-in because we split the episode.
After filming recording the entire episode.
Yeah, so yeah, sorry about that. But please enjoy this episode. I'm really excited about it. That's all. Bye. That doesn't make any sense for it
to say bye.
Yeah. Okay.
Here we go.
Please enjoy. Someone tells her that Pierrot is working as a clown.
So she goes to find him.
So she goes to find clowns.
Yeah.
Thinking she'll find him.
Yeah.
So she goes and sees a variety of clowns. And Pierrot goes everywhere he can think of to find her.
They're looking for each other.
He tries the old porn studio, but they're like, we don't know what happened to her. And then he tries like a library. She sees a clown. She goes to see a clown. He asks, I don't know.
Like,
he tries a lot of logical things. She just sees a lot of clowns.
Like, she's like, he's definitely a clown.
Yeah. So now the thing about like, this whole story, clowns kind of play like a big role, but I think it's clowning. I don't know. They describe clowns the way clowns are described, but it's never in like a creepy way. This is very much like a love story to clowns almost. Like she really like respects clowning as a profession.
She really does.
Yeah. So there was like freaking like five chapters where it was just Rose goes to see a clown. Pierrot goes to do something, like he went to the zoo or something.
I wrote that he was retracing, like, where he believed Rose would
Yeah, he
go.
Was, like, trying.
Yeah, but he was being logical.
And then they can't find each other, so they just start giving up. And then Rose finally like, goes to
the piano man.
Theater. So she goes to the theater, and she hears him playing for her, and then
not for her, but it's the song.
It's the song that he played for her
so long ago.
Yeah, and so he, like, comes out, and then they're, like, all awkward, and then they hug, and they cry, and they reunite, and it's very nice.
It was very nice.
And they go to a jazz club, and they get drunk, and they dance together, and then he tells her about Sister Eloise, and she tells him that she did porn, and he's like, I know you did porn. And he's like, you were great in it. And then they have sex, and Pierrot doesn't feel horrible after it. And this is like the only time in his life he's ever had sex with someone he's in love with. Yeah.
I was so happy.
And they talk about having a baby.
Oh, I was so happy.
Yeah.
I was like, don't do that.
Yeah, don't have a baby.
But cute.
Yeah, it was nice. And then he tells her about his addiction, and they fall in love, but they're super poor right now.
Yeah.
Because Rose isn't working, and she's just like, I'm gonna make a show. Like, I don't know why she's doing it at this point. Like, they have no money at all. But yeah, so at one point, Pierrot gets, like, confronted by somebody that Poppy owes money to. And Poppy had said, like, this guy is my pimp or whatever. Mm-hmm. And Rose, like, she, like, attacks him or something and saves Pierrot. And it's very, like, I don't know, they're very cute together. I like that she's, like, the badass, and
he's some of my favorite lines about, like, their love for each other. Mm-hmm. I wrote, he liked how she made him feel about himself. She liked the way he made her feel about herself.
Yeah.
I can't make myself happy. Nobody can really make themselves happy, but they can make other people happy.
It was really nice. And then Pierrot asks her to marry him, and they get married, and they're 22, and they get their picture taken.
Their one and only picture, because they're poor.
Yep. On their wedding day, and it's very nice. Then Pierrot's theater burns down, and he's out of work. So things are not great. They're both unemployed. They're so hungry and barely getting by. And then Rose gets pregnant.
Again.
Oh. And so she can't perform, she can't work now that she's pregnant. And they have, like, so little food, and she's hungry all the time.
But I wrote, but she imagined, like, they're, like, worried. But yeah. She also, like, imagines that the baby's, like, a little boy.
And it's going to be just like Pierrot.
And then, but Pierrot imagines it's going to be a little girl just like Rose. I'm like, you're so cute.
but she miscarries again.
Ugh.
And then they throw the... She
not
like,
they, put, he, she alone. Yeah, like, she, he's like, not home.
Yeah, and so she, like, puts the baby in a suitcase and, like, throws it in the river.
Mm-hmm.
And then he, like, comes and finds her, and she's, like, sad, but, like, she's like, this is just what I do with the kids. And then Pierrot, like, tries to go out and look for it.
Oh, it was so sad.
It was so sad. Oh. And then Pierrot is, like, so sad about losing the baby that he's, like, gonna go get high. And then they, like, physically fight. Like, she, like, holds him down. And she's like, no. And then she, like...
That's the love that Poppy was looking for. But I think that is more of an appropriate context than what Poppy was looking for.
Yeah. And then it's at this point that Pierrot remembers...
The apple!
The apple that he put in the tree.
Yeah.
So he goes and finds it right where he left it. And then takes it to McMahon, and McMahon gives him $20,000.
Because it was, like, an extremely valuable...
Yeah.
And Rose doesn't tell Pierrot at this point about...
Her history with McMahon.
Yeah, like, he doesn't know...
He knows that she was the mistress for someone wealthy, but he doesn't know who. It's him. Yeah.
So I really... I remember this moment going, you should just tell him.
Yeah. So then they... decide to start their circus.
I am so happy.
Yeah, the snowflake icicle extravaganza that they've been working for their whole lives.
They get their clowns. They get the costumes. They get the sets.
They get a stage time in New York because they can't work in Montreal because McMahon. But she like somehow convinces some guy in New York to give her time on the stage.
And she's like 2 weeks on Broadway.
Yeah, and she's like, we're going to have this crazy show with showgirls and clowns and it's going to be insane.
Yeah.
So she rents a vacant hangar, and they round up clowns, and they're, like, putting the show together. Meanwhile, McMahon's men kidnap Pierrot, because he mentioned, when he was selling the apple or something, he mentioned Rose. Somehow McMahon knows.
That's why I was like, why wouldn't you just tell him to make sure you don't mention her? Because, like, she's been hiding from McMahon.
Yeah, because he's going to kill her.
Yeah. Like, you should tell your husband who's about to go give him, like...
A thing. Like, don't say. Don't mention that I'm married to you. Yeah. Anyways. So then, this apple, it turns out, was, like, a really famous magical apple.
And now it's, like, unsellable because...
Yeah, because it was so intensely famous.
Yeah.
And because it was, like, missing for a really long time. Like, it's just... It's a weird thing. So McMahon's like, I want my $20,000 back.
And they can't get it back because they spent it on the show.
Clowns. And then McMahon is like, okay, well, now I want to murder you and Rose, but I kind of need my money back also. So McMahon strings Pierrot upside down on the mast of a ship.
He was also, like, fine with it. Yeah. I remember, like, when they come to get him, he's, like, upside down.
He's just like, he's hey. Like,
hey, someone gonna get me down?
Yeah. So then McMahon goes to see Rose, and he is just, like, so mean to her. Like, he just says horrible things to her, but then gives her money so that she'll move heroin over the border to take it.
To give it to another, like...
guy in New York.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he, like, says all these mean things. After he leaves, Rose, like, rage flips the table. Which is another, like, I love Rose. I don't know. And then the money spills, and she, like, has, like, this moment where she's, like, very possessive of the money.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is, like, Rose, she cares about money quite a bit. Mm-hmm. Because when she doesn't have money, she has to do horrible things for money.
Mm-hmm.
And so she likes to have money. But then she's like, oh, I should probably go get my husband down from the mast of a ship. But they use the money to buy dancing girls. So they get these, like, not dancers, but just, like, girls that are out of work because it's the Depression.
Yeah.
And she, like, dancers. Buys them new clothes. Mm-hmm. But they're all very, like, loyal because they have no other work. And then all these clowns are very loyal, too, because they're, like, Rose and Pierrot are performers, too. And it's very, like...
It's a beautiful thing coming together.
It really is good. It's really nice things. So they build this whole set and they hide the drugs in the moon. Like, this massive moon. Just full of drugs. And one of the clowns she realizes is, like, good with numbers. So she makes him the accountant. Yeah. I really liked him, too.
He becomes, like, more important, too, as they...
I didn't write down his name here, but he gets named and he gets good later.
Yeah.
But Yeah, so they're gonna go. The guy they're doing the trade, the drug trade with, is this guy Jimmy Bonaventura in New York.
Yep.
And he's like a big gang leader there.
Yep.
And so Rose reads a novel about him, and she like reads it in like a sitting. So she's like into Jimmy Bonaventura mm-hmm. a bit. And Pierrot is like, he's like not jealous immediately, but he's like, Rose has a thing for like mob guys.
And in the meantime, like while they're preparing, McMahon mm-hmm. is like sending girls to try to get.
Yeah, that's. Yeah.
Is that like, did you write that down?
Yeah, so McMahon is like, he's like, I'm not going to kill Pierrot because then she would still be like in love with him and yeah. like mourning over him.
Yeah, like the martyr kind of death.
Yeah, like he would be like this insane thing in her mind. He's yeah. like, she's like, or he's like, I want her that to hate Pierrot.
Yeah.
Like, passionately. So McMahon is like paying these prostitutes to like entice Pierrot to do heroin and sleep with them.
And he says, like, it just happened, like, there would be a girl on the street who's like, I need help. Can you come up to my room with me?
Yeah.
Like, I'm really, like, you know, like, so she, like legitimate help.
Yeah.
And then they're like, heroin.
So, like, this lady, like, invites him up to a room, and he's like, I guess I'll help you. And she just opens her legs and is like, can you shoot heroin into my thigh for me? And he's like, wow, this is weird.
Like, that's what you needed help with?
And so he like... is like standing there like, this is so weird, and then he like just leaves, like he's tempted by the heroine more than the lady.
Yeah,
but like then he notices this like private detective, which he had previously like tried to hire this guy to find Rose, but he was too poor to.
Yeah,
so he like recognizes this guy as a private investigator or whatever, and so yeah, he like sees this guy and he realizes McGrahan is doing this. But yeah, this was a really, like, it was just funny that there's these women.
It was a funny one. And he didn't tell Rose because he was like,
and that's the thing. I'm like, I feel like maybe you should tell Rose. But still, like.
I what was this? Like, I'm not going to do anything. And she's so busy, like.
She was pretty ragey at this time. Like, yes. She was stressed about the show. And she was like.
And he's like, this will only cause more stress, I guess. So I'll just keep quiet.
Yeah. Yeah. So then the next one. is this escort that looks like Rose that McMahon sends.
He's getting more and more creative.
Yeah. So, like, this, like, woman that looks like Rose joins their troupe. Like, Rose takes her in because she's like, sure, if you can perform, whatever. And so McMahon and Rose have a tense discussion about their drug deal and how much they hate each other. Yeah. Sorry, what was the cute part?
Well, because, like, this woman is trying to seduce Pierrot and failing.
Yeah.
And then she goes to meet with McMahon, and she's like, I think they just really love each other.
Yeah. Like, it's... Yeah.
Like, she's like, it's not going to work. Like, he's not going to fall for it.
Yeah.
And he doesn't.
Yeah. Then they get through customs. They're, like, on the way to New York now. Mm-hmm. And then we're introduced to Jimmy Bonaventura and his pal Casper. I don't know why they needed Casper to exist. It wasn't really relevant.
He really wasn't.
He was just there to be Jimmy's friend. And there's snow falling when they arrive, and Jimmy, like, is talking to Casper, and he's like, we should go see the show. And Casper's like, are you sure you want to do that? We have to kill her after the drug deal.
Because that's a McMahon.
Yeah.
I really struggle with that word.
McMahon.
McMahon yeah. has, like, told Jimmy, like, get the drugs and kill Rose.
Yeah. But then they go to the show, and it goes to the show, and the show is, like, about their lives.
I know.
It was... Oh, my goodness.
I actually meant to reread it to, like, figure out each part, because some parts were super obvious.
I wrote some, and then some were, like, yeah, we can discuss. So Act 1 is, like, all these chorus girls, and there's one... There's the prostitute that looks like Rose, who, like, stands out from the other ones, because she's, like, got dark hair, and she, like, looks different. And so it's just kind of, like, about Rose feeling different from other girls. Mm-hmm. And, like, her being an orphan in the orphanage. Because all the girls are dressed kind of, like...
Poor.
Poor-ish.
I remember that.
Yeah. And then Act 2, there's an aristocrat man on a bicycle. I think that one was supposed to be, like, about Mr. Irving.
Mm-hmm.
And about Pierrot. Because I think Pierrot rode his bike around...
Before he was allowed to drive it. He rode his bike in the house.
Yeah, in the house.
Yeah, because it was so big.
Yeah. And so then Act 3 is, like... it's a bunch of adult-looking clowns, like, acting like children. And I think that was supposed to be them performing together, maybe? I don't know. I should have, like, written exactly what it said so that we could try to figure it out,
yeah.
But, yeah. It might have been them just feeling like growing up. I don't know.
I don't know that one.
Act 4 was the clown in a bath crying.
Yeah.
And that was about Piero's sexual abuse. It was so sad and weird. Like, the thing with the clown was, like, it was crying and, like, the bathtub was, like, overflowing with its tears. And it was like, I don't know what to do about this. Mm-hmm. And then it got out and had, like, a giant prosthetic dick on. It's really weird. But it was about Piero's sexual abuse.
Yeah. Also, what we didn't mention was that the first sexual abuse happened in the bathtub.
You know that it was. Yeah. It was pretty sad. Act 5, they were in, like, Napoleon hats. And I thought that was maybe Rose with McMahon's children. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I don't really know what the Napoleon hats were, but I thought she had one when she was there.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what that one was. Act 6 was all these clowns are, like, drunk and, like, acting like they're floating around, and then they, like, climb up this thing, and then you think they're going to fall off something, but they end up walking on, like, something invisible that it looks like they're floating in the air. Uh-huh. And that's about Piero being on heroin, then also about him falling off that ladder the one time. And it's very, like he was very up in the air and, like, floating, and then in real life, he fucking fell. It was sad. And then Act 7, there's, like, a lady getting ready for a date, and it is, like, Rose with McMahon and her time with him. Mm-hmm. And then Act 8, all the girls come out on roller skates, and they take off their clothes, and then one remains on stage, and that girl is, like, Poppy, mm-hmm. in that she's, like, left behind, and she's sticks out. Like, she's not even good at being a prostitute. And she wasn't, right? Like, that happened to her, where, like, when they did the brothel raids,
she would be picked up, because she was the worst prostitute, so the
prettier prostitutes didn't go to prison, but she would go to jail because
they wanted the prettier prostitutes to remain there to make money.
Yeah. And then the final act, a clown tries to lasso something, and then everyone gets on stage to help, and it's the moon, and he's, like, pulling it down from the sky. And then Piero plays his song, and Rose dances with the bear that she's danced with, and the snow falls.
Oh, I loved it.
And then the show ends.
Oh, I loved it.
Very bittersweet. Like, yeah. Okay. The audience was filled with 109-year-olds in furs and pearls. And it was, like, all the audience all felt like kids when they watched it, and they were, like, laughing and enjoying it, and they didn't want it to be over. Yeah. It was very cute.
Yep.
Because that's what Rose and Piero do. When they perform, everyone just feels like kids again.
Kids again.
They feel okay. And Jimmy watches, and he thinks people from Montreal must be crazy. Because he sees the moon, and he's like, it's full of drugs. This is stupid.
Like, it's huge. Like,
yeah. What? Then he sees Rose, and he's like, oh, that's the one I have to kill for sure. Because she just, like, has so much presence. And he's like, yeah, McMahon must be pissed at her, like, enough to kill her. But then he's also like, oh, no, I'm madly in love with her instantly.
And proceeds to, like, go watch her show every day.
Yeah, like, every day for, like, the 2 weeks that it's on.
And then it's, like, so popular, it gets extended for more.
Yeah, so he, like, he wakes up the next day after the show, and he, like, feels sad that it was, like, over, so then he goes the next night, and he just, like, keeps repeating that. Yeah, so it gets extended for another month, and they're, like, drinking and celebrating their success, and, like, Jimmy's mad about that, because he's, like, I need my drugs from the moon.
But they can't get the moon out from the stage.
Yeah. Yeah, Rose is offered touring dates to go tour with the show.
And I was like, okay, great. This is going to be great.
And Piero is like, I never want to see Montreal again.
Like, yeah, he's like, I'm done. Like, it was a miserable place. We were miserable.
Yeah.
And our life is only going to get better from here.
So then Rose talks to Jimmy directly about, like, she's like, our show got extended. Like, I can't give you the moon.
Yeah.
And then they're like, we don't really need to talk through McMahon, right? And we'll just talk to each other. We're both here in New York. It's great.
Yeah.
And they're into one another. Like, she is attracted to him, but she's still like, I'm married and I love Piero.
Yeah.
But she's like, I like men with money and power.
Yeah.
So yeah, then Rose is like, she's aware that McMahon wants her killed. Wants to kill her,
uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
So she is like, I'm going to propose this thing to Jimmy so that McMahon doesn't kill me.
Mm-hmm.
And so she goes to talk to Jimmy. And
doesn't she take Pierrot to do it with
Yeah, her? She does. And Pierrot, like...
is, like, useless.
He takes a flower off the desk and, like, puts it in his, like, behind his ear. And then this cat just shows up and sits in his lap.
Like, she had taken him as, like, a, I've got a man with
yeah,
me.
But he's just, like... And everyone's like, oh, my God, he's so soft. Like...
So she, like, lets him leave. She's like, you can just go now, Pierrot.
Well, he like, says in French, he's like, I'll wait outside. It was really nice. But then Jimmy realizes when he sees them together, like, he's like, the reason Rose loves him is because he lets her be herself. Mm-hmm. Like, totally free whatever to do she whatever wants. She wants.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Pierrot just waits outside. And then Rose, like, draws this map of Montreal and exactly how to take the heroin trade from McMahon.
Mm-hmm. See, this is when I started to get a little bit worried because I was like, clearly, Pierrot doesn't want this life
that Rose wants.
Yeah. And I was like, uh-oh.
I was like, okay, maybe Rose is just going to take, like, hand it to Jimmy so that Montreal isn't a place where she's going to be insta killed.
Uh huh.
And then it'll be fine. But.
I was starting to go...
It gets a little... Yeah. Rose meets with Jimmy's guys, and they are all on board with it, and she's, like, holding her own at the, like, negotiating table with these men.
And loves it.
Yeah, and she feels, like, good about herself. Jimmy is, like, into her, and so he, like, gives her this briefcase, and he's like, look at this really nice briefcase I got you. And it's got, like, the deeds to all these hotels in Montreal that she was supposed to, like, it was supposed to be McMahon gives him the drugs and then he buys these hotels for McMahon. I don't really understand why or how, but Rose has the hotels now.
Uh-huh.
And he, like, tries to flirt with her, but she's, like, still married.
Yeah.
And she, yeah. And World War II is going to be starting soon. That's just another fun, fun thing that's coming. And Jimmy has elaborate romantic fantasies about Rose. And then Pierrot just, like, wakes up and is thinking about the baby that died. And was in the river. And he just, like, he's, like, just, like, I want heroin. So then he, like, goes downstairs and he's, like, oh, no, I want heroin. And so there was, like, a letter left at the hotel that's, like, can you come
entertain the children at the hospital? Children's
hospital, yeah.
Ugh.
And so he just goes to the hospital to make sick kids laugh.
Oh, my goodness.
And I literally wrote, I'm fully in love with Pierrot at this point. Like, this was, like, the thing, like, where I was, like, I love Pierrot.
This is, okay, I was talking to my friends about this, that are not you, obviously, yeah. I'm about to tell you.
Thanks for that preface, because I also know that you weren't talking to me about it.
Now everyone knows. The listeners, this is a story that I told other people. No, we were talking, I was in this, like, meeting, and there was this guy talking, and someone had asked in this, like, group conversation, what's, like, one random act of kindness that you've seen or done in the last week? And so everyone's, like, answering this question, and then this, like, old man, like, I don't know, like, in his late 50s, so not super old, but, like, not young, is, like, every Sunday, on my day off, I go to the old age home, and I take my Apple TV, and I play the news, or something, I can't remember what he played, I think it was the news, for the seniors, because they can't figure it out themselves.
Aww.
And I was like, I'm in love with you. I was like, man, if you were an appropriate age, you would be so, so attractive right now. And, like, all the other, like, 50-year-old women who were in this call were probably like, hello. I was like, it was so attractive.
Yeah.
And so I was telling my friends, like, oh my gosh. Because
doing nice things, yeah, really hot.
Especially when, oh man, I was talking to my dad, like, why do you do good things, Dad? And he was like, oh, I don't know. You know, it's just like, you got to do it. And I was like, oh, this is the secret reason why men have to do good things. Because women love it. Because women fall in love with them. Oh my gosh, when he did that. And then he like leaves and he's like, I wrote about it.
Yeah. Okay, wait. I have a quote from this part, because this also was kind of a painful part where like the kids are laughing and Pierrot is like, this is like all that really matters to me.
Yeah.
But yeah, there was a quote that was like, maybe you couldn't achieve happiness as an adult. It was something that belonged to children. It was a fool's errand to try and experience it as an adult. Once you were old, all you could do was make others happy, and that gave you a deep sense of fulfillment. I was like, whoa, what if that's true?
I know, a lot of that happy stuff. I mean, I don't know. I mean, yes, absolutely, you can make other people happy. And yes, absolutely, it gives you a sense of fulfillment. And clearly, when other men make other people happy, women love it.
Yeah.
So you're definitely making other adults happy, too.
Yeah.
But that makes an adult happy, so adults can be happy.
Yeah. Anyway, your thoughts on it?
Well, I wrote, I didn't write, oh, I love him. I wrote, beautiful, beautiful boy. And I wrote that, like, he's gone home, and he's like, he's made his choice. I want to be good. I want to do the show.
He's
and
like, I don't want to be crime bosses. Whatever we have to do, I want to just perform.
I want to perform. He wants to like do the show on tour, but he also wants to do these like performances for children, like give back to the world.
Yeah, which is like, wow, dude. Could you be any hotter?
And then I was like, this isn't going to go over well.
Meanwhile.
Because Rose is like, I'm going to own hotels and take over the crime world of Montreal.
So, yeah, Rose and Pierrot go to have this conversation. Well, Rose is betting on a dog fight at, like, a gambling den. And she's like, if we go on tour, we're going to have, like, no money. We're going to be barely above starving. Like all the places that we're going to go, they're just going to take these huge cuts, and we're not going to be doing well, right? Like, financially. And so she's like, if we return to Montreal, we own hotels, we can perform wherever we want because McMahon won't be there, and we can make like real money. And Pierrot is like, McMahon's not going to let you do this stuff in Montreal. What are you talking about? We can't go back to Montreal. Rose is unconcerned because she's like, McMahon's not going to be there. And then Pierrot is like, oh, you're going to have McMahon killed.
Yeah.
And he was like, whoa, that's not the woman I married. And then, so they fight, and Rose's justification for, like, her, like, she wants money, and she wants power, and she's like, my body wasn't mine when I was a kid. I have the chance to never be mistreated again if I have money and power. And so, in a way, it is kind of the culmination of her arc, in that she was, like, just constantly abused and had no say in it her whole life, and now she's like, there's a chance that I could never be abused again, so she's gonna take it. But it's very hard because I really liked Rose up until she became
a mobster. I know, I was so upset.
Yeah,
because I was like, yes, I understand,
like money,
I understand that
people need money.
Yeah but I also, I mean, I don't know what it's like to live in the Depression and grow up in such a shitty life, mm-hmm. but I was like, you pick happiness.
You also, like, admittedly, if she
had picked Pierrot and traveling, she probably wouldn't have been abused again anyways.
Yeah, but there's also, like, I also think about, like, I don't know, she's very much involved with Jimmy, and so if he just went and did it, then she would have no say in it, even though it was all this work she put into this mm-hmm. plan to steal the heroin trade from McMahon. Mm-hmm. And she, like, she also kind of loves Montreal. Like, she's like, I want to own these hotels. I want to make the city better. And I can only do that if I have money, not if I'm touring and having $0. And then I also just felt so bad for all these freaking clowns they hired. I was like, they just want to do shows. They're having a good time. And these, like, working girls that they took in. And yeah, it was really sad.
It was so sad. They brought us back to sadness. We had, like, a few little middle bits of I love it, I love it, I love it. And then boom.
Yeah. It was really harsh. And he's like, I can't go with you. I can't go with you back to Montreal to kill McMahon and just be a heroin dealer.
Like, that's not where I can't be there.
Yeah. He's like, I can't do that. And she's like, I can't do it without you. And he's like, you can, though. Like, you...
Like, you are.
You are doing it anyways.
Yeah. And I think I wrote here, and I think that, like, even earlier, McMahon has said, like, that he believes that Rose hates him more than she loves Pierrot. And at this moment, Pierrot believes it, too.
Mm-hmm. It's really sad. Oh, it's so sad.
And he also writes that he has now realized that she has been imagining a future without him.
Yeah, like she's been building this future and he doesn't need to be there.
Oh,
and he's like, perhaps he was just a fool who couldn't grow up and understand the world.
Oh.
The dog fight ends in the background. And I also think it's like part of Pierrot's arc is that he is childish and dreamy and such. And I think part of that is him. He's just doesn't care about money. He's never cared about money. Yeah. And so Rose is kind of growing up and being this adult person that like has to, she's like, I have to care about money. Money is like, it's an adult thing and you just have to do it. And he's like, no, I want to just do the fun things that I want to do.
Yeah.
And so it's almost like she's outgrowing him and it's just really brutal.
Yeah. And it's only getting worse.
Yeah, so then Pierrot goes, he's so sad, and he goes and sits by a pond, and then this lady Coco shows up. And she's like, do you want some stew, buddy? And so she offers to make him stew, and they go grocery shopping for stew. And then he gets back to her place, and she just is like, want to do heroin? He's like, yeah, I really want to do heroin.
My commentary for this was, no!
Yeah. And so he sleeps with Coco, and there's a private detective.
Taking pictures, and...
And, yeah. Pierrot is, like, not coming to the show because he's off in a heroin stupor somewhere. They can't...
And, like, Rose is super upset. Like, she's refusing to talk to anyone. She won't, like, she's like, where is he? Where did he go?
Yeah, and they can't get a replacement for either of them. And so the rest of their tour dates are canceled, which is just so sad. And so Jimmy, like, cracks open the moon, gets his heroin. And then Rose gets the photos of Pierrot cheating on her, and she wishes he were dead. Ugh. And McMahon gets exactly what he wanted. Fabio is the name of the accountant clown.
I said Fabio. I wrote about Fabio, too.
He delivers the news that... And this is actually, like, so funny. So he, like, delivers the freaking, like... thing with the photos, and Rose is like, it's because he's a performer, and she's like throwing things and angry, and she's like you don't do that, like you wouldn't do that to Fabio. And he's like, I haven't had a hard on in 2 years. And it was so weird and strange. Just like, it was so funny. And then Fabio looks at the photos, and he's just sad because he can tell that Pierrot tried to save the show and tried to, like, get her away from this life that they were going towards. Because Fabio's also like, I don't know if I want to be a crime boss.
Yeah. I wrote about this.
Yeah.
That Fabio, like, concludes that this was Pierrot's way of cutting them loose from him.
Yeah.
Like, just cut all ties.
Like he was like, Pierrot tried to save them from a life of crime, and he just was like,
and when it failed, he was like, well, I can't stay.
Yeah.
So I need to go. Like, it's kind of the same way as McMahon. Like, I need to go in such a way that there is no coming back. We are now two separate lives. But then Fabio ends, like, I remember this, the chapter ends with Fabio saying, like, Pierrot doing this makes Fabio believe in love again.
Yeah. Pierrot really loved, like, he wanted so badly for it to...
And, like, that Pierrot was making, like, this ultimate sacrifice for Rose to do exactly what she wanted without having, like, the remnants of losing love because Pierrot had cheated on her and now she could be mad at him instead of missing him.
Yeah. Oh, my God. So sad. So then Rose gets drunk. She dances and goes to see Jimmy. And she sleeps with Jimmy and feels bad. And she's like, I have fallen from grace. Like, she feels old for the first time. She feels like a different person. Like, she's wilting and aging without Pierrot. And then she, like, kind of gets her shit together. And she's, like, full of rage. But she's like, we're doing this. It turns out that her dog that she'd bet on in the fight
which was the, like, underdog dog.
Yeah, the lived. Poodle thing. It lived, and it won. And that was kind of, like, Rose fighting. And I think it's also, like, Rose, she was dependent on men for so long. Yeah. And so part of her growing up and being this person is, like, she can't depend on men anymore. She has to rely on herself. And so it was, like, her dog winning the fight was that she won the fight, yeah, in a sense, yeah, with Pierrot. It was really upsetting still.
I know. This my commentary for this part of the book was, I'm just sad.
I know.
I'm like, I said, I've, like, got this pit in my stomach of, yeah, like, ugh.
Yeah. Ugh. It was brutal. And so McMahon's, like, waiting to hear if Rose is dead. And Rose is, like, leaving New York, and she's feeling, like, really lost.
And she's, like, knowing that as she leaves, this is it. Like,
yeah, she's, like, is leaving gone. Pierrot, like, he's behind.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Yeah, and so she owns the hotel that she and Pierrot used to live in.
Oh. See, it was the same hotel.
Yeah.
Unless she moved after she met him, but I don't think she did. I think he moved in with her.
Yeah, I think he was homeless and a heroin addict. But then there's, like, this interesting, like, reflective scene where Rose thinks McMahon might come to the hotel and kill her, and McMahon thinks Rose might be coming to his house to kill him, and, yeah, you're like, who's going to kill who? And then McMahon is killed.
Yeah. And so Rose is truly, truly free.
She's free from all men. She, yeah, owns her own hotels. She's her own person. And it's really sad.
Because meanwhile...
Yeah, and so Rose sends Pierrot money because she's like, you helped with the show, you deserve a portion of the profits or whatever. And underneath all the money is their freaking wedding photo. Oh! Oh my God. And so he just lives in a hotel and goes full heroin addict.
Yeah, he's like, that's it. I'm done. Life's over for me.
And this was... Okay, this was the saddest part for me.
Okay.
That truly... I don't know why this was the saddest part. He sold his suit at the pawn shop. The suit that Irving made him. I don't know why that, like, I'm, like, tearing up thinking of it. And then, like, it's weird how, like, something like that, like, it's been building to such sadness that I was like, he sold his suit. And then he goes to, like, record the song that he wrote for Rose, and he's like, I've been working on this song for, like, 14 years. Yeah. It's my whole life's work. Just one song. And
he plays it.
Yeah, to get, like, a last little bit of money. And he's like, well, my story is over. Like, I wrote the song, and that's what I was here to do. And,
ugh.
Yeah. And
it was so upsetting.
The Great Depression ends, and Pierrot's tune, like, is part of, like, coming out of the depression.
Like, it's so...
It's played on the radio.
It's an uplifting song, yeah, and it reminds everyone, like, the world is better now. And, yeah, so this becomes, like, this anthem across, I guess, North America.
Yeah, and, like...
And he became super famous.
He did. And the album, like, has their wedding photo as the art the cover,
because they asked for a picture, and he didn't, like, have anything one. But that one picture.
Yeah. And then Pierrot... dies. He overdoses on heroin.
I wrote, he died alone, feeling alone, and thinking about Rose.
Oh my God. And Rose is sad, and they bring his body back to Montreal, and they have this big parade because everyone knows him,
and they're like, it's like this big thing. And I remember, what did I write about it?
Yeah, they have this just big parade, and it's an event for his funeral, and everyone's, like, happy, sad that he died, you know? Like,
And even just thinking about, like, what Rose wanted was, like, money and power. Mm-hmm. And if they had stayed together, and if he had recorded that song, and he had gotten royalties, they would be rich.
But he didn't, he rejected royalties.
He
was stupid.
But. Alternate world, they stay together. He's not a heroin addict when he records the song.
Yeah.
They do royalties and they're rich forever.
Yeah.
When the thing that I wrote, I cried during the funeral, not like Rose, mm-hmm, sad that she was there, but I was like, man, like.
Just like what could have been.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But like they described all these children who were like begging their parents, like, let me go to the funeral to, like...
Because it was exciting.
Like... Yeah. It's like, it's so sad.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. And, like,
oh yeah, and I wrote, like, just, I just was like, can you imagine, like, children, like, children don't beg their parents to go to funerals, and that just, how much of an impact.
Because, like, all these clowns knew Pierrot, so, like, all these clowns, like, are, like, parading through the city and performing and
And I just wrote, like, to have died and have had such an impact on the world without ever knowing any of the impact you would make.
And still, like, dying alone in a hotel.
Right? Oh my God. Like, just that, all that parallels.
It was so sad. And
I wrote a lot about his funeral, sorry.
Yeah, tell me more.
Then the last part that I was, like, that got me was that the other group of people that came were soldiers who were preparing to go to war to die themselves.
Yeah. Oh my God. Because it was World War II.
All these
now.
Young men, like, which he probably would have been one of those men. He would have died anyways. We're fine. He would have died 2 months later at war.
Yeah, So, Rose is successful. She has hotels. She, like, never gets into prostitution. She tries to avoid, like, exploiting women.
Yeah.
And she's, like, generally known as quite, like, she'll help people. She, like, gets performers going. But she is quite lonely in general. Like, she doesn't really
have people other than Fabio.
Yeah. Which is so sad that her, like, sad accountant clown is, like, her friend. So she does a lot of good, but she, like, totally stops performing.
Mm-hmm. She just becomes, like, a business.
Yeah, a businesswoman.
Yeah.
And then Sister Eloise shows up one day, and she tells Rose that Poppy and Pierrot had a child together.
Which Pierrot never finds out about, like...
He never knew about.
Yeah.
But Poppy had just died, I guess, and so the child had come to the orphanage. I was like, okay, is Rose, like, forgiving Sister Eloise at this point?
Mm-hmm.
But no, Rose has Sister Eloise instantly killed. Which is just who Rose is now.
Yeah.
But she plans this, like, really fun and exciting future for Pierrot's son,
which, Isaac. Whose name? Thank you. I was like, gotta tell me the name.
Yeah. And I was like...
So you don't... But you didn't like this chapter.
I didn't love that Rose got such redemption and, like, love in her life for...
Being not a great person.
Like, yeah. You know? Like,
I wonder...
Obviously, I don't want Isaac
to be...
With Sister Eloise at the fucking orphanage.
I mean, I guess one, like... I kind of was hoping that this would be, like, a turning moment. Like, a new...
Chapter
of, like...
Rose's life.
Yeah.
And I also was like, maybe it is a fitting end for Pierrot in that, in a sense, he never... Like, he refused to grow up in a way.
Yeah, that's what I wrote. Like, he died...
Being a child.
And he was like, I'm okay with that. I don't think I was ever meant to grow up.
Yeah, like, he would have, if he had stayed with with Rose, he would have had to grow up and become, like, an adult person. And that, in a way, like, death is more of what Pierrot would want than to be an adult. So, yeah, it, like, in a way, Rose becoming this independent person that doesn't rely on anyone is the trajectory that she would have had, and his was to just die a child, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
But boy, was it frustrating. Like, it didn't feel satisfying. It felt just like, ouch, why are you hurting me? And I was so, like, just upset. Like, I was like, you killed him.
Oh, I know.
I get that happy endings don't always happen. No. I don't know. It was a very beautifully written book.
Yeah. I mean, I really did like it. Yeah. Like, highly recommend people read this one, not just...
Yeah. I felt very hurt and, like, yeah.
Yeah, I think
it
that
left
was...
me, like...
That was one of the things where I think all the other books... Like, we have described it before. It just happened, and we were there for it.
Yeah.
But this one, I was like, oh, I'm in it.
Yeah.
Like, feeling all of the feelings from both of the characters, like, ugh, it was a hard...
It was a hard read.
Hard read, because I was so engrossed.
Yes.
Which is what authors are trying to accomplish, so she succeeded.
Good job, Heather O'Neill. You rocked it. You hurt both of us deeply. Congrats. Thanks. But yeah, it was also, like... It was funny in that I feel like the love story, like, it was important to them, but it wasn't, like, they spent more time apart than together.
Than together, yeah. I thought there were some other interesting things, too. Like, even us, I have no idea, like, I don't even know if they ever describe Pierrot, but it really, what he looked like, we've talked about this every time, and it didn't matter.
Yeah, I pictured him blonde and blue-eyed. And I don't know if that's accurate description or...
I have no idea.
I know Rose had dark hair and, like, rosy cheeks.
Yeah. And I also thought it was interesting, like, I thought as we read from the beginning, like, baby all the way up. And I was like, I wonder if that really helps. Because another thing we've talked about is they drop us in on characters who we think suck. Yeah. We don't know why they suck. They just do.
Yeah.
Where we know why Pyrrho and Rose had their issues. We saw it all unfold. So, you know, like, when you know someone's backstory, it's harder to hate them.
Yeah. Like if we were dropped in when Pyrrho was, like, in his player phase.
Yeah.
And you don't know that's because he was sexually abused and feels horrible about himself. Then that's, like, it's different context. Yeah. Or, like, dropped into Rose being, like, being a part of this affair and and all this stuff, and then realizing it's because Rose is, like, just desperately wants to have some autonomy over her life and her body, and it's a different story.
It would have been a very different story. And so having that love story unfold the whole life, we didn't have any reason. They didn't give us many reasons to dislike them until they gave us many reasons to dislike Rose later.
Yeah, and it was just really hard that they did that to Rose.
Yeah,
but it is, like, you know, she had to grow up.
And the way she went about growing up makes sense with her storyline.
Yeah. It was just really sad.
Yeah.
It's really sad that she had to, like, do it without Pyrrho.
Ugh. But anyways.
Yeah.
That was Woman Writing Men.
Yeah.
The Lonely Hearts Hotel.
Oh, yeah. So Pyrrho, he's number one, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Like, yeah.
Number one, and then there's a big gap.
Between everyone else. Yeah. Just because he performed for some kids at a children's hospital. But also, like, he was lovely.
I mean, yeah, I liked him all throughout, but...
Yeah, he was such a sweetheart.
He was beautiful. Pyrrho's number one, and he might be pretty hard to topple.
Yeah. Pyrrho's number one, and then under him is...
Innkeeper? No. No, oh, Will Grayson, Will Grayson.
Will Grayson.
Then Innkeeper.
Then Innkeeper. Callias... Chase You, and then at the bottom of the list, we got Travis Maddox. It's funny that we did, like, bottom of the list and then top of the list. But actually, most of them get moved to the bottom. But yeah, this is so fun.